Good evening, everybody. This is Ryan Wilcox, and I've got my partner here, John Holliday, the legendary sports editor.
What's up, guys?
That's a nice intro.
Yeah.
Well, welcome back. It's so good to see and hear each and every one of you.
Back on the daily grind of podcast a week. I mean,
that's right.
I'm not complaining.
I'm not either. It's terrific. Gives me something to look forward to as I'm getting ready to leave my classes.
Absolutely.
So, talking about leaving our classes here, RBC basketball, the guys are really good.
I hear they're tearing it up on the,
hardwood. They are ranked nationally at number 3.
Ooh.
So they've been doing their part here. Let's take a look here. So the guys are, they only have 3 losses. They're 21-3 right now. They are balling. And in their last 10, they're 8-2. So going into the solid, most importantly, conference play, the boys are getting it done. So for their counterparts, the ladies, they are, let's be honest here. We're going to have an honest moment here. So if you need an intervention, this is the one
we've
got for you.
Now's the time.
The dynasty is still possible, okay? Because at a record of 9-12, our Lady Eagles are still ranked number 6 nationally. So
wow.
That still sets to the play of the other competition, as well as in our last 6 games, the Lady Eagles are 5-1. So I'm sure they're starting to put a stretch together where they're cranking it out here. But here's what interested me the most. At home, the Lady Eagles are 5-2. Away, they're 4-10. So that almost looks like Coors Field numbers here, but
yeah,
I'm sure they're about to get some a lot more games at home here, especially since we're hosting the national championship anyways.
Yeah,
so we need to get used to.
Not trying to pull Minnesota Vikings.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well.
Hey, there's plenty of season left, so.
There is, and I have
no reason to get worried.
Full faith and trust that. Our girls are going to get it done, and that our boys, they're looking good. So I'm really excited. And if you come out to a game, this Saturday is Rumble at the Rock, which features District 205's annual winter tournament, as well as then RVC goes on to play a couple of tough people here as well. So not the District 205 students. That would be a little unfair.
Yeah.
They play other colleges, but it'll be a good time. And if you can make it out, you're due for a lot of people,
a good time,
some good food,
yeah,
and a lot of yelling from parents. So
right.
This should be great.
Yeah.
But talking about yelling, a lot of yelling from parents. If I was a parent of a Minnesota Vikings child, I would. I'm sure this week's been really tough.
I mean, probably one of the greatest games ever to be played in the playoffs, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
them winning that Saints game.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I'm sure people have seen the reactions on the sidelines. Just like, you know.
Yeah.
Complete mind blown. And
raw audio video,
yeah,
of them on the sidelines. It's crazy.
Yeah. But unfortunately, they won't play in their home stadium. So.
The stadium of glass is what I like to call it.
Yeah.
Because there's so much glass.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you feeling? What should we talk about next?
Well, since we're on the topic of basketball, let's talk about basketball, you know.
Yeah.
Good old NBA. Some good hard-fought wins and a lot of fights, but you know.
A lot of fights.
That's the NBA for you. We'll just rattle off the top 8 in each conference. Starting in the East, Boston is at the top.
Of course.
Of course. 35-14, and Toronto is,
I just want to say something. Did you see Gordon Hayward yesterday was starting to take some free throws?
He is back on the floor shooting shots, so that's
bodes
good night.
Well,
that's good news for Celtics fans. Man, I mean, first we had J.J. Watt walking around without a boot, and he's looking a lot better for sure. And now you got Gordon Hayward. You know, Carson Wentz is on the sidelines. You know, giving some advice to Nick Foles. So yeah, I mean, some speedy recoveries for sure. But right behind them is Toronto with 32-14,
they're
just
good.
About a game and a half behind. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, really, East is anyone's game. And then Cleveland has been having sort of a rough patch.
Going, I saw a report.
27-19.
That came out from, I believe, ESPN that said a lot of the animosity in the locker room has
just a lot of, you know.
Has been towards Kevin Love.
Yeah.
In his production lately. What do you think?
I mean, there's really two schools of thoughts. You can think he's, you know, not contributing enough to the team.
Yeah.
But you also can be like, he's really underrated, you know.
I hear that.
He doesn't seem like a very standout player to me, personally. Right. But
and he's not consistent like a Paul Gasol is.
No, he... I mean, the days when he was with Minnesota, I think, were his really his... I mean, I'm not saying he peaked or anything. You know, LeBron has played some of his best season. He's one of the oldest guys in the league.
Yeah.
You know, he's not as old as Vince Carter, but, you know.
Whoa, easy.
Yeah. But, yeah, Cleveland has had a lot of issues. You know, people were talking to LeBron about making the playoffs. He's like, we shouldn't even think about the playoffs, you know. And, you know, asking about Ty Lue's job security.
Oh.
You know. You know, he's like, you know, I don't know if he's going to be here. I mean, all the signs were like, yeah, he's gone. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, before the trade deadline happens, you know.
Can they trade coaches? For those of you that are wondering.
I mean, Jason Kidd? That'd be kind of interesting.
Jason Kidd for Tyson Lue.
But Ty Lue was quoted saying, we're going to make a change before the trade deadline happens. So Kevin Love may not play the rest of the season. He might be out of a job. He might be, you know, on another team. We don't really know. But
not Denver. Please not Denver.
Not Denver.
We have too many big men.
And then after Cleveland, Miami. Miami is one of those dark horse teams.
Really?
Right now, 27-20, led by Hassan Whiteside and Deion Waiters. Deion Waiters is a great shooter.
Yeah, he
looks
fantastic.
Have you seen his form is like butter.
Paula Deen butter.
Yeah. Following them is Washington, 26-21. Stephen A. Smith had a good take on them. I mean, they just really aren't performing as well as they should.
The Wizards?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not as good.
Really just, I mean.
Most people thought they were going to be this
having
year.
A good, I mean, Bradley Beal just made his first All-Star game.
Right, congrats to him.
Yeah.
Well deserved.
I mean, you got guys like Kelly Oubre, Marcin Gortat, John Wall. You know, everyone's trying to argue he's a good, the best point guard in the East, but, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a little much.
That's stretching it.
I'm fairly confident they'll still make the playoffs, but you know they're just underperforming. And then after that, you have Indiana Pacers, 26-22. I like how they've been performing. Oladipo's gotten his first All-Star start.
Yes.
Or I think he's a reserve, but he's performing very well. And then after that, Philadelphia, 23-21. They've
really turned that around.
Yeah, they were. I think 8th or 9th, and now they're 7th.
Yeah.
So, and then lastly, 8th, Milwaukee, 24-22. Things might go badly for them now that they're out. Jason Kidd is out of a job.
Or they just hire Giannis as the coach, and then they just win every game.
Pull LeBron and just coach the team, you know. But, and then Detroit and New York after that. But that's,
yikes,
that's how
Detroit.
The East. Especially, I mean, we'll get to the All-Star snubs. Don't worry.
Okay.
Moving over to the West, obviously Golden State 38-10. Not a lot of shakeups in the rankings right now. Houston 34-12. San Antonio 32-18. Minnesota 31-19. Oklahoma City 27-20. New Orleans 26-21.
They've turned it around.
Yeah, they've performed.
They're starting to perform way better.
They were dead even for a while, and now they got a better ratio. Portland 26-22 and Denver 24-23. That's how your standings look right now.
Before we let's stay in the West for a second here. Did you read what happened to Kawhi Leonard?
I did. He is
that going, is very interesting.
He's going down the same path as Derrick Rose did earlier in the season. He's dealing with like a thigh injury or something like that.
Yeah,
and he's not that old, is he?
No.
No.
Do you see what he said about the team doctors, though?
What'd he say?
That they messed up his recovery plan.
Oh.
That's what surprised
me. From last year or just recently?
For his current recovery. Because he played in a game, and then was out again. And he had some pretty strong takes on the medical staff in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And I was like, yikes.
I don't know if his situation is as dire and comparable with Derrick Rose's. I mean, Derrick Rose literally stepped away from the game for, I don't know, a week or two. But I don't know. I hope it's not that serious because he's a great player.
He is.
You know, he can really – he controls both ends of the floor. Popovich loves him, you know.
Yeah.
You
know? He was voicing that some of the doctors there weren't sure what – they just weren't sure.
Yeah.
And I know it's tough, and I don't want to blame doctors or anything, but
yeah.
You got your – it's just one of the biggest names in the game right now saying that your team doctors are screwing up his recovery plan.
Right.
That's something.
This is the claw we're talking about. This is like
the
Spurs franchise player, but, you know.
Not Tony Parker?
Tony who?
Well,
I'm just playing.
Ooh, good one.
He got benched for, what's his name?
Oh no.
I think he's newer. He's a rookie maybe, but,
okay.
I was watching the end of the Spurs Cavaliers game a couple nights ago, and he was doing very well, cutting the defense, laying layups, and LeBron James kind of, you know, patted him on the back. He's like, okay, all right, I see some talent. So,
yeah.
I mean, San Antonio's got everything going right for him. Usually,
they always have everything going right for them.
Yeah. I think it's time to introduce a little segment. I know we've done this before, but you know, hot takes.
Hot takes.
This is from a Instagram account called Your NBA Opinions.
At your NBA opinions.
They've got a lot of great posts. I definitely recommend following them. But a lot of just not so much controversial, but like interesting takes on things.
Okay.
So
lay them on me.
We'll go through. I mean, and they're not all pertinent to today's game, but some of them are, some of them aren't. I'm just gonna rattle a couple of these off, and I want to see your take, and I'll give my opinion. So. Who is the best NBA player to never win a ring? Here's your choices. Chris Paul.
Okay.
Allen Iverson.
Ooh.
Charles Barkley. John Stockton, Karl Malone, and Steve Nash.
Ooh, okay.
So you got a couple of good point guards in there. You got a dynamic duo, and, you know.
I know. I don't know, man. I'm going to narrow it down for you, okay?
Okay.
Allen Iverson, Charles Barkley, Steve Nash.
I think I'd agree with that. I mean, Chris Paul
he still has time.
He's got time, yeah. Allen Iverson was a monumental point guard in the early 2000s. And, I mean, Charles Barkley was obviously, that's.
I just, Steve Nash was good for so long.
He joined the Lakers right after, right before they won a ring.
Yeah.
But
also that's because Mike D'Antoni went out there.
Right.
As well.
John Stockton and Karl Malone probably would have won a ring if they hadn't played MJ
That's true.
97-98.
That's very true.
Because they were a great West team.
Yeah. I just feel bad for Allen Iverson. At the same time, he did it to himself, though. That's why I'm not going to pick him. It's either Charles Barkley or Steve Nash.
Okay.
Because Allen Iverson walked away from the game because he had too many personal life issues to deal with. That to the point where I believe he got traded. I can't remember where he got traded to. Then he asked for a trade back to Philadelphia. He played in Philadelphia for 36 games and then said, bye, I'm done.
Yeah.
And I was like, he just bowed out way too early. And it wasn't like Philadelphia didn't need him. Philadelphia needed him in like 2010 is when he walked away or something like that. And he just, bye.
I mean, he played with some good teams, and I like you said, I think it's partly his own fault.
BO7 Nuggets.
Yeah, I mean, he played with Carmelo Anthony in Denver. He played with Andre Iguodala in Philly. I mean,
I always forget Iguodala was in Philly.
I think he played with Denver too.
He did.
Yeah. So
we had a good year until Steve Curry came out of nowhere and
rocked your world.
Seen Steve Kerr, Steph Curry.
Yeah.
That's before Steve Kerr was their coach, but Steph Curry.
That's when he first got drafted.
Third year in the league, just rocked the Nuggets in 2015.
Yeah, Allen Iverson deserves a ring. I'll say that just because he's so good.
And what he had to go through to get to the NBA.
Yeah.
he had ESPN 30 for 30 is amazing.
Yeah.
It's hard not to like have a dry eye when you see that one.
I think I'll have to go with Charles Barkley for sure.
Charles Barkley.
Yeah. Cuz if you didn't know he didn't have a ring, you might assume he did, you know.
Right. And so. Shaq lets him know all the time.
Yeah. We'll just go through a couple more of these and then we'll get to the All-Star stuff.
There's some good ones.
Yeah. If the Rockets got Melo, they would be worse. True or false?
True.
True?
True.
You think the Oklahoma City's got the curse, the bad end of the stick of that? But
if Melo goes to the Rockets, the roles would change dramatically, and I don't know if that would effectively be put in time or they would gel together in time for the playoffs.
They're inconsistent for sure, because one night they put, you know, 120 plus points against the Cavs.
Yeah.
And other times, you know, I don't know. It's too hard to tell sometimes, but
you know who I didn't realize was still in the league? The Rockets have a big man Nene.
Oh yeah.
And that just, I don't know why that weirdly took me by surprise, but my jaw opened and I was like, shut up. He's still in the game.
He's still
good
there.
For him.
Yeah.
Cause he like holds the Nuggets most games played in a Nuggets jersey. It's like 800 something games.
Wow.
Nene.
Yeah. I was just gonna say I think he played for Denver, so
he played for Denver for a long time.
Yeah.
And he's still in the league, which good for him.
Right.
Good for him.
While we're on the topic of the Thunder, since Melo did join them, do you think they're a super team? I mean, they have a big three, okay three, but
They have a possibility of becoming a super team.
Are you saying that just because of how they performed so far?
Yes.
Okay.
Their performance hasn't indicated
that's a good
completely
factor.
That bro, this team blowing people out of the water.
There is potential. You could be very good. You could be second or third seed in the West.
Slap an Olympics uniform on Melo, and he's good to go.
Speaking of the Nuggets, will the Nuggets win a championship in the next 5 years? You got Jamal Murray. You got Jokic. You know, in the next 5 years, is that possible?
In the next 5 years,
if they get good picks. If they improve their game.
Not picks. Malone's a good coach, and he, besides, ignore what Yusuf Nurkic said when the Nuggets played the Trailblazers. I didn't have a relationship with Malone. Malone's a good coach. He's with the guys. He's what emboldens Gary Harris and Jamal Murray to put up numbers each night when they're not like the focal aspects of the team. Because it's all been Jokic and Paul Millsap and
Millsap probably won't be there in the next 5 years.
I know.
You know.
So it depends if the...
You got to talk about longevity.
I know. So the supporting core, because I think they have their players down, but it's people like Kenneth Faried. Can he fill in time? Is it Emmanuel Mudiay? Can he stop turning the freaking ball over and make the floaters that he needs to?
Yeah.
Is it going to be Mason Plumlee? Is he going to protect the paint? They have the core down.
They just need to
be
build on top of
the consistency of the bench players.
Okay.
I think if they become consistent and do what they need to do each night, I think the Nuggets have a chance at getting the championship.
Yeah. Okay.
Or just trade for Steph Curry.
Right.
I think we'll be good.
Yeah. Here's an interesting one.
Can you imagine Steph Curry and Trae Young? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That would be sick. That would be sick.
You would need a tank, though, to get that pick. Oh, wait. Nuggets, it's
if you
a lottery
hear me.
Now. Excuse
oh,
me.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Never mind. Don't do that.
Here's an interesting one. If Kobe and Jordan switched eras, so, I mean, I know Kobe played 4 years in the 90s, but if Kobe and Jordan switched eras, Kobe would be the GOAT. True or false?
Dang. That's a really good one.
It's a hard one because... People equate Jordan...
Actually, no. No.
No?
No.
People equate Jordan's talent and the success he did or he acquired because of the era he played in. Everyone likes to like, oh, he played in the 90s. There was no talent in the 90s.
That's not true.
If he played today's teams, you know, it would be different, but, you know. I don't want to say...
If Jordan was in Kobe's era, Jordan would even be better. That's my take.
Be better.
Would even play better. because Kobe flourished under an NBA era that had all of those penalties and fouls really come to life.
The game changed.
The game did change, literally changed.
Yeah.
So if Kobe had to go through what Michael Jordan had to go through in the late 80s and early 90s of the physical punch to the mouth.
That's a good point.
NBA, yeah, no way.
People say that, you know, because, you know, people are calling the league soft now with all the calls and some of the missed calls especially, but, you know, saying that the earlier games were more physical and, you know, that sort of thing. But, yeah, that's a good point. Let's see. Let's keep it in the 90s. John Stockton is a top 15 player of all time and is the most underrated player ever. So you got a kind of a two-parter. Is he a top 15 player, and is he the most underrated player ever? I'm going to say no to the first one.
Interesting. I was going to say yes to the first one and no to the second one.
I'd say he's very underrated. I mean, he's like the god of assists, but
yeah.
I don't know.
The Utah Jazz wouldn't be who they are without him.
That's true.
That's for sure.
Whenever I think of like the top 5, top 3, 15, 20, whatever, I always have to like keep in mind every single like legend, you know, the Kareem, MJ, you know, it's just, you get that list so tight and what they've done and their clutch moments. It's doesn't seem to, I don't know.
Sometimes those leaders aren't leaders without the unsung heroes.
Right.
And John Stockton definitely played his part in
for sure.
Taking care of his team
right.
for years.
Let's see. Is Steph Curry the best shooter of all time? Some people will say easily agree, like easy.
He's made it popular to become a shooter.
He's made the 3-point. He's made the 3-pointer very popular for sure.
Game changed because of Steph Curry.
No, I totally agree. But you know, again, when you're thinking top, I think of like you know the big guys: Reggie Miller, Ray Allen, Ty Lawson. Jason Terry, Paul Pierce, you know, those guys that hold so many records. I think they're going to hold more records
mm-hmm.
to be considered the greatest 3-point, because you're talking about a specific discipline of the sport, you know.
That's true.
But best shooter, he's a top.
See, best shooters general. Best 3-point shooter, that can go down, possibly.
Yeah.
But shooter, I don't, not yet.
That's a different, yeah.
Not yet.
I agree. While we're on the topic, Russell Westbrook is more clutch than Steph. And this can be really boiled down to who's the better point guard in the West. He's more clutch?
I think so.
I'd say I'd agree with that.
I think so.
Because
when it's time to go lights out, Russ can go lights out.
I'd put more money on him, but yeah.
Steph plays really well to the pick and roll game and getting his boundary, getting his space.
Yeah. I feel like
to be clutch.
He's okay. The better assist guy, I think.
Yes. But to maul down someone and put him in their place in the moment, that goes to Westbrook.
Yeah, he's definitely more athletic and physical. If KD never left OKC, if he was still on the Thunder, Russ wouldn't have won the MVP.
True.
Easy, yeah. Because you only got two guys. You know.
Yep.
Is Chris Paul a top 10 point guard of all time?
Not yet. No.
I think he's got some room.
I just still think he should have stayed with the New Orleans Hornets. I think he shouldn't have left to the Clippers.
He could have easily been a franchise player for them and like made it
forever.
Right. In the shoot.
And he had good luck and good years in New Orleans.
In the shoes of an NBA player, when you see things aren't going quite your way, or you see a brighter future, you're going to gravitate towards that. I don't blame him. But you also have guys that like Tim Duncan or Manu Ginobili who've played their whole career with the Spurs, and they have you know more
five, six,
right?
A million. Know. Okay, five.
Yeah, being realistic. Let's see. While we're on the topic of trades, how would have things changed if Golden State accepted Paul George for Klay Thompson?
Oh my gosh,
that's interesting.
Wow,
Paul George on Golden State. Oh man, I feel like having too many All-Stars is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because you're, I don't know.
Oh, Klay that is good.
Klay Thompson has made too much of a name for him with the Warriors.
Yeah.
I mean,
I feel like, okay, all respect to Paul George, but I feel like that would be a step down for the Warriors.
Klay Thompson is a point getter. I mean, he has the most points in a quarter ever.
Yeah, and Paul George is still trying to figure out his space in OKC.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. I agree with that, though. Steph, Klay, and KD are all top five shooters of all time. I'd say just Steph, maybe. I mean, yeah. Klay's a top 10, but...
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Is Dwayne Wade the second best shooting guard of all time?
No.
No?
Shut it down.
Yeah. Easy. We're getting to
the... He was good in his prime. He was good in his prime.
Yeah.
But he... You gotta pull that consistency.
Wind the clock back to 2007, and you know.
He was good though.
But yeah, we're getting to the easy ones. Magic Johnson is one of the most overrated players ever.
Yes.
Yes. Oh.
Yes. Oh geez, he's walking out of the room. It was nice knowing you.
He's being. Are you? I don't even know what to say to that.
You don't know what to say. I say yes. He's overrated.
Why?
Why?
He's rated pretty fairly. He's Showtime not, Lakers.
Okay.
Oh,
okay. Oh God.
Oh.
Oh, here we go. Fangirling over here.
All right, here we go.
I don't think so because those years of the NBA, you had who'd you have?
Kareem.
Him. MJ.
Yeah. Well, he was more of an 80s player, if anything.
Okay.
You don't see it?
I don't. You can't sell me on it.
I mean, you're welcome to your opinion, but you're wrong.
Sure. Tell me why you think that.
I don't know. He's definitely a top 10 player, for sure. No doubt about it.
Who would you say is the best one of all time?
Best player of all time?
Yeah, that it's asking. Or no, it's his most overrated.
Oh,
right?
Most overrated. There's a fine line between pure talent and stat padding.
Mm-hmm.
He's iconic for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are gonna hate. I mean, I think LeBron's kind of overrated.
Okay,
but he's also very good. You know, I just most overrated player. I can't think of one really. Who do you, I want to hear your take. Oh, most overrated, talked about, but he can't really back things up.
I think Carmelo Anthony is definitely one. I feel so much hype around him, but he's not.
He's a great shooter, though.
He's a good shooter. He doesn't produce all the time, which is the problem.
That's true.
I also hear it with the brow.
Okay.
I feel the brow is overrated. I like him.
He's
turning
things over for New Orleans.
And I don't know if it's going to be the most overrated player of all time, but I'm like, the brow doesn't show up every night. James Harden doesn't show up every night.
He doesn't play defense.
James Harden doesn't play defense every night.
Okay, I can agree with those. Those are more modern picks anyway. But
Larry Bird, over... No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Just kidding.
This is an easy one. Shaq is the best player at using his physical strength to score.
Yes.
Easily.
Ask any backboard.
Right.
Yes.
He has a literal... not statue, it's a... you've seen that, right, though? It's like a big pole, and it's every backboard he's ever broken.
Oh, yes. I've seen that. That is hilarious.
It's very cool. Sorry, just getting my feels a little bit.
Okay.
Derrick Rose
is
the best Bulls point guard of all time.
Oh, God. No.
No? Not even 2009 Derrick Rose? Oh.
He got MVP, but not best of all time.
All right.
Who else is good for the Bulls?
I don't think he's the best of all time.
Who's the best of all time for the Bulls? Scottie Pippen?
Scottie Pippen.
Okay, all right. That's what I thought.
Okay. Speaking of overrated, is Kobe overrated?
No.
No?
No.
He can back it up.
The Black Mamba.
But if he had 7 rings, he would be the GOAT. If he played longer or got... Really, this is just contingent on his team.
Yeah, that is contingent on his team.
So,
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. It's time. All-star snubs.
All-star snubs. This is what I want to know.
We got a group of six guys. I already know mine.
Okay.
I got them too, but I want to hear yours. So we got Lou Williams.
Okay.
Andre Drummond. Ben Simmons. Kemba Walker. PG-13. And CP3.
Whoa.
Yeah. Those are some
Are you serious?
I'll knock a few out right
CP3 got snubbed?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I'll knock two out right now. Lou Williams hasn't produced enough the whole season to, you know, convince me. He's had a couple good games. Sure. I can't deny talent. He's not a good enough all-star.
Right.
Ben Simmons, he's been playing out of his mind. He's a great rookie. He's definitely, I mean, he fell ill to the 76ers curse, but, he recorded a triple-double last night. I mean, I can't really think of many rookies that do that, but again,
I don't know.
That makes me scratch my head.
I don't think Paul George is a snub.
Everyone's been saying he's the biggest one.
Really?
Yeah.
I know CP3 was hurt, but Chris, that surprises me.
Andrew Drummond is a great big man for Detroit, and he's led.
Solid.
He led the league for rebounds or blocks or something like that. I don't see that being that big of an asset for being an all-star. But
okay, yeah.
Kemba Walker, he's got great handles.
Kemba Walker does.
He's got a great shot. I don't think he's that good. It really just comes down to PG and CP3.
Yeah, as you can tell, I did not realize that CP3 was snubbed. Yeah. Wow.
He's been in the game before, I think, before, too. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Interesting.
I can't. Who do you decide between those two?
CP3.
If you've looked at the record of Houston playing with CP3 and without, it's like staggeringly different.
Night and day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised that CP3's not.
I'd say I'm going to go against the tide here. I think Chris Paul is the biggest snub. But
same.
Yeah. Paul George. I mean,
Paul George, if you're listening, be better.
Yeah, get your act together.
Love, Ryan. TBH. IMO. Yeah. Like for like.
Link in description.
Link in description.
But yeah, those are the All-Star snubs, and I think that about wraps it up for NBA.
Okay. Well, staying on the All-Star subject, obviously it's not me. But the NHL also picked their all-star teams, which I like the NHL new all-star format. I think it's a lot more fun. Did you watch it last year?
The NHL all-star game?
Yeah.
I did not.
So it's a 3-on-3
of
your best players. So representing. So I'm just going to say some of the biggest names. So you've got in the Pacific, you know, you have Ekman Larson, who's just been fantastic for Arizona for years. You've got, obviously, Connor McDavid, Anze Kopitar. There's a lot of Kings in this Pacific division. Four of them.
Can't stand the Kings.
Can't stand the Kings. You also got Johnny Hockey, Johnny Gaudreau, and you've got Brent Burns. And from the Las Vegas Knights, Marc-Andre Fleury, who has been terrific.
Quick question. Do they also do it the format in the NBA where they have the starters and the reserves?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Just making sure.
But in this case, it's more of like changing out lines.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's different, though. 3-on-3. Is that including the goalie?
Yep.
Oh.
Or no. No.
No, yeah.
The goalie's not included.
Right.
Goalie's not included. Sold separately.
Yeah. Defense is the goalie.
Defense is sold separately.
Yeah.
So in the Central... Nathan MacKinnon for the Colorado Avalanche have been lighting it up since the Matt Duchene trade is in there.
I saw you post on Twitter about that.
Matt Duchene.
Yeah.
I mean, Nathan MacKinnon is a god right now. So then you have...
Hashtag fire emoji.
Patrick Kane, who's been playing out of his mind.
Obviously.
Lately. Not as much as Nathan MacKinnon. The captain is PK Subban. And then you've got Pekka Rinne and Connor Hellebuck as the goalies. And nothing too crazy here. You got Tyler Seguin.
Pekka Rinne, that was the guy that choked against the Penguins, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
For Nashville, yeah. In the Metropolitan, you've got Holtby and Lundqvist as your goalies. Let's see here. Making his first all-star appearance is Seth Jones from Columbus. Seth Jones was the pick that the Avalanche passed on for Nathan MacKinnon. But it's nice to see Seth Jones get the credit where credit's due. Right. He's such a solid defenseman.
Kudos.
Then you obviously you have Sidney Crosby, Taylor Hall, Claude Giroux, Alex Ovechkin, who's a captain, and John Tavares. So the Metropolitan, at least on the forward side, is loaded. Loaded. That's just those four alone. There's five. They're going to be the ones that score the most goals. Right. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
I mean, if you have Sidney Crosby, I mean,
that's true.
That's a given. Yeah.
And lastly, in the Atlantic, you've got Vasilevskiy, the Tampa Bay's goalie. They've been playing really good. You've got Erik Karlsson, the defenseman, and then some of the notable names: Steve Stamkos, Brad Marchand, who just got suspended, Jack Eichel, Nikita Kucherov, Chris Matthews. They're good. So obviously this is an all-star game. There's not really a big – the only snub that I can think of is because it's close to my heart is I don't think Alex Pietrangelo should be there. I think it should be Duncan Keith. Seeing what he's had to deal with this semester
yeah.
– sorry, not this semester. This season with the Blackhawks with no defense, I think he should definitely be in there. And then for Alex Klingberg, I think Eric Johnson should take his spot because Eric Johnson has been holding it down for the Avalanche.
That's a shot at you, Crawford.
Yeah. I'm sorry, we do not. Thank you, though. Good times. You never know what you're going to experience here at Rock Valley College, which is why you should sign up for an education here if you don't have one already.
Exactly.
www.rockvalleycollege.edu.
There's our plug.
The more you know.
There's our plug.
So, but for the All-Star game, I think those are the only big snubs that I saw.
Okay.
So.
Right on.
Nothing else has really changed in the standings. Tampa Bay is doing okay. The Avalanche finally lost their first game of 2018.
Ugh.
10-1.
Blackhawks need to work on their defense.
That's true. They finally got a point, though. They lost in overtime yesterday, but they finally got a point. Yikes. There's a team that should be looking to trade some assets around because they sent Gustav Forsling back down to the AHL Rockford.
Get some Ice Hogs players in there, man.
And I was like, yikes, who are you going to send up?
Right.
It's bad.
Speaking of hockey, though, I have a fun statistic that will segue our way into the NFL.
Okay. Tom Brady actually plays for
Tom Brady is a Pittsburgh forward. Yeah. it's a fun little statistic, a little fun fact. The most championship appearances since the first Super Bowl in 1966, New England Patriots have 10 after winning the AFC Championship. The Lakers have 22. They've reached 22 NBA Finals. Is that insane?
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
The Canadiens, the Montreal Canadiens, reached 13. Celtics have reached 12, and the Yankees have reached 11 World Series since 1966.
Dang.
So, moving on. To the Super Bowl, the biggest game, the game of games.
Okay, let's talk about this.
Let's rewind it to a week when
Ryan
said, "Yo, man, I got Jags Vikings."
Okay. I may not be as we've experienced in recent episodes of crushing it. I mean, wow. Excuse me, Sports 360.
That's a throwback.
That's a throwback,
man.
For your mother. I'm not the best bet better, okay? I don't place bets very well. I go with my heart, and I can't go wrong. Last week, I definitely went wrong. I had a heart attack.
If you struggle with gambling, there's help, and there's hope.
There's definitely help.
Link in the description.
Definitely hope. Jacksonville, Minnesota is what I wanted, and I thought was going to be a fun Super Bowl. But
two words, Jalen Ramsey. Talking all that. Okay, here we go. Three reasons.
Okay.
Here we go. So they blew a lead 14-3 at halftime.
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey can't back up his smack talk. And you lost to a quarterback that had 12 stitches in his throwing hand.
In his throwing hand!
Are you kidding me?
Anyone who's ever had stitches knows that sucks a lot.
I've never had to, so I don't have any personal experience. But
I had a surgery back in September. That I had surgery on my leg, and oh my God, I did not think I was going to be able to do anything.
I was watching the pregame of that of the AFC Championship, everyone's like, Tom Brady's hand, Tom Brady's hand. He had a glove on his hand during the press conference. He was hiding in his pocket in the pregame tunnel. Yeah. And he comes, he's got, it was.
He's got like a robot hand.
Yeah. He's pulling the Anakin Skywalker or whatever. He's got it across his, the skin across your thumb and your index finger. And after the game, there was a post by ESPN that said on the tape, Jalen Ramsey, we're going to win the Super Bowl. So he's looking at his hand. He's like, okay, that was motivation. But yeah. Man, I was seriously worried.
Stitches in like the most important part of your hand.
Oh, yeah.
That I just I can't imagine his how
release,
much that
His
hurt.
Release looked fine, but, you know, everyone was like, you know, Tony Romo and Jim Nance were like, oh, is he going to be okay? And they're, you know, just I love those commentators, but like, man,
I just wish Tony Romo was like, yeah, when my back got hurt, they stuck me with like 4 shots of lidocaine. I didn't feel anything for 3 years. I wonder how much they put in his hand though.
Yeah,
he looked flawless the second half.
But I mean, they just didn't have an answer, and then especially when Gronk went out, man.
Okay.
That was the turning point. I was like, they're done.
Okay, that was the turning point, and I did think that the Patriots, that was like their death wish, their death warrant right there.
Mm-hmm.
But there was nothing. Okay. If he went lower, you would have taken out his knees, and everybody would have
been
upset.
It was a cheap shot, man.
You think it was a cheap
shot? Oh, my goodness. Was it late? He had the ball, and then, I mean, he was leaning with the crown of his helmet, for sure.
Okay. He could have. I'm not rushing to the defense of Jacksonville because it's definitely he could have switched it up a little bit.
Yeah. Lean in with your shoulder, you know.
You know, the only way to take Gronk out is at his knees or at his head. But do you think if he hit squared him up straight on the chest, Gronk would have stopped?
I mean, that guy's a truck.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
And I am saying what he did was wrong. He should have definitely at least gone for the hips more so than his helmet, and that was bad. But it's Gronk's.
I mean, I'm not
gonna, Gronk's hard to take down.
I'm not going to debate. He's gonna be hard to take down, but you know.
But then from there, I was just impressed by one, how well Tom Brady played in the face of adversity that second half.
They turned it on so much.
And two, how well Jacksonville did at not playing defense.
Right.
It looked like they forgot how to play football.
After being the number one ranked defense in the AFC, if the league that much.
In smashing their way to the AFC championship. I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
do not get
it. They play Pittsburgh. So.
Okay, that's true.
That's true.
I don't get it.
I mean,
they should have won it. They had it. They had the lead 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes in, then gave it up. Couldn't. They played conservative, punted it, gave up a touchdown, and then Blake Bortles. You got to know to at least lead your receiver on. Twice he did not for big plays. Twice he underthrew it.
There was a lot
of a Baker Mayfield, and it did not work.
There was a lot of overthrown passes. And, I mean, kudos to them. The first time they made it since, what, 2007 or
2013? 99.
That was Buffalo.
The last time they played in the playoffs was 07.
Oh, yeah.
Or 06.
Yeah.
But they made it to the championship in 95 and 99.
And they've never made it to a Super Bowl.
Mm-mm.
So, I mean, they probably have a good chance next year. I'm not going to doubt that. They're probably going to be another AFC contender for sure. But after you blow a lead like that, I mean, people lose faith in you because you lead them on so much until like the fourth quarter. I mean, fourth quarter Tom Brady, you know. Even one of the players said, yeah, we got Tom Brady'd, you know.
Yeah.
So
it's insane. And then let's talk about how completely disappointing that Minnesota game was.
I called this a while ago. I was telling
I was
telling my dad, I was like, Minnesota won that game. Mm-hmm. When they played the Saints by the skin of their teeth, literally in the final seconds on a crazy play that Stephon Diggs had.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to deny that was like, it was the Minnesota miracle. It was great. Sure. Mm-hmm. They had their moment. Yeah. You know, but there's still 2 games to be played. So that didn't leave me with a ton of confidence knowing they could play the Eagles and do well. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the 3 quarterbacks that weren't Tom Brady are obviously very inexperienced.
Yeah.
But I had more money on the Eagles in the first place, but
I just thought Case Keenum was going to play better than Foles, and Case Keenum, after that first drive, did not. Did not.
Yeah, they led them in the first quarter and then downhill.
And then just gave up.
Yeah.
Like if it was rigged.
Hmm.
Ooh.
Hmm.
But here's my hot take. If New Orleans beats Minnesota, New Orleans is in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
I thought the Saints were going to be able to take on the Falcons.
I think.
I mean, the Eagles.
Saints definitely have a lot more veteran help with Drew Brees, but they also have Alvin Kamara, you know, and that kind of mixing it up. That was definitely the Saints game to win for sure. But,
yeah.
You know.
So
that would have been an interesting game, though, Saints and Philly.
That would have been fun.
Right.
That would have been fun to watch, at least, compared to this snooze fest.
Yeah. One of the most
terrible,
boring Super Bowls ever. I mean,
terrible. What was fun, though, is that when they announced that it was, you know, it was going to be Patriots and Eagles, it brought me back to 2005 when the last rematch, which was Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens taking on Tom Brady. And I just remembered being upset because I was rooting for the Patriots, but I was secretly rooting for the Eagles. And I watched the Paul McCartney halftime show. The Eagles were still playing terrible, so we all played football outside.
Mm.
And my team, the Patriots, won. So I ran back inside, and I watched the Eagles blow the game.
Yeah.
I was like, ugh.
Donovan McNabb never won a ring, did he?
No.
He's one of those few players.
No, and after Spygate came out, his famous quote was, "Hey, can I get that ring back from Tom Brady? Because I think we deserve that one."
Yeah.
Cracks me up.
But
rematch of 2005, Super Bowl 32.
Yeah.
Here we go. Who do you have? Sorry, not 32, 42.
Yeah.
40. I actually forget it. I don't
math. Know. Quick math.
It's a rematch of Super Bowl 2005. How about that? Or 2000.
I don't want to say it's going to be a complete
2004.
Yeah. Carbon copy of the Patriots-Jacksonville game.
Mm-hmm.
Although it would be interesting to have another Tom Brady comeback.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know. I want to say Philly is going to lead them at halftime, but I also say Patriots are going to lead them. It's going to be like 17-7 at halftime.
Yeah.
Or some weird number like that. It's going to be like two Patriot touchdowns and a field goal, and then a Philly touchdown and a field goal.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to start pulling away because that's, I mean.
Okay.
It's like almost rudimentary of them to start turning it on in the halftime and just
when it's not the Broncos,
right,
pull away.
Start, you know, realize, oh, hey, we need to win this game, you know.
Yeah.
They just wake up and like.
And John Elway's not watching us, so we can win this.
Yeah. Just put him back in the game, man.
That's my favorite tweet that I think I saw over the weekend was, you all need to be thinking the Broncos because without the Broncos, Tom Brady would be winning 4 in a row right now.
Yeah.
And it was because the Broncos stopped them at Gillette in 2016.
But I think since, 2003, he's been in 7 AFC championships and won each one of them. Or he's not won every
AFC. Not won every one.
Yeah, he's got 7 of them.
Yeah, he's won. Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. Cause
gosh, they just have been.
He's had, it's almost 12 or 13 years? No, 15 years.
More, yeah.
15 years. He's been to that many, and then besides him, it's been Ben Roethlisberger, Joe Flacco in 1 year, and then Peyton Manning and the other
two or three.
Yeah, that's crazy. That much quarterback AFC dominance, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got 24. I think it's been a close game. 24-17 Pats for sure. 24-17.
I'm gonna say this is going to be the highest scoring Super Bowl ever.
Ooh, okay. If they play like they did in Philly.
55-53. Field goal wins it. I don't know if they can even. Hang on. 55. That's. Yeah. It's going to get. Yeah, it's going to be 55-53.
So 7 touchdowns each. At least. Yeah.
7 times 7.
49. Yeah.
So a. Plus a couple field goals, or 7 touchdowns and a couple field goals.
We're going to cut to a quick commercial break and figure out our math.
Professor Rippentrop?
Yeah.
I need some help.
15 men's or less could save you 15% on car insurance.
Could save you 50% more on your grade point average.
Yeah.
Ooh. We should sell that.
Ouch. Yeah, we should.
Hey, congratulations on making the president's list or dean's list.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Thank you. Representing Poplar Grove.
Mm-hmm.
And congratulations to all the students listening to this on making the president's list or dean's list. And if you didn't make it, we believe in you. And there are programs to help you.
There's
do that
always next year.
Rally.
Yeah.
That's right. But yeah, any other closing thoughts, closing words?
Brady's going to get his sixth ring. He's going to.
You think so?
He's going to use the stitches and get another finger on his right hand.
I think Carson Wentz is about to be the most productive
player. He's
going to
jump in at halftime.
To ever not play the Super Bowl.
Yeah. He's just going to like miraculously fix his knee. He's like, I'm back in.
Think about that. If the Eagles win, Carson Wentz becomes, like, I don't know how else to say it, but the most helpful player to win a Super Bowl without his help.
The best, the only player to not win a ring or to win a ring without playing. I don't know. He got them halfway there, more than halfway there.
Yeah.
Like a participant trophy or something.
Yes.
Like, thanks.
Yep.
But, yeah.
And I think my headphones just broke.
Cool.
You just kind of scared me because now you're just only in my left ear.
Oh. Am I talking the right side?
Weird.
No.
I don't know. Wow. I think I'm going to throw up. I'm kind of disoriented.
I think this is a good stopping point. Thanks for tuning in. I'm going to get Ryan to the ER real quick.
See you guys later.
See ya.
Bye.